associate outlook. We're not going to get into all the details in the law, but this is just on a basic level. This is the rule called. There are two nicknames for this rule in the poskim. There are two nicknames for this rule in the poskim. One of them, very good, Malcolm, is called tole, meaning tole, you like assume. Tole here means assume. Meaning if there are two ways, could be us or mutter, you could be tole that it was the mutter way. Another phrase used in the poskim for this is sha'ani omer. That you can say. You can say it worked out. What does this mean? The principle is when it comes to Isurim Darbanan, meaning if you have something that fell into one of two places, and worse comes to, if basically you have something that falls into one of two places, we'll see the different scenarios, and you have two scenarios. Two scenarios are, scenario one would be Asur Nidrabanan. And scenario two would be Mutter. Then the principle of Sha'ani Omer. Now, if it would be Daraisa, you wouldn't be able to get away with things like this. But if you have two scenarios, and worst case scenario is Nishad Darbanan, best case scenario is Mutter, you have a rule of tolling. Sha'ani Omer says you can assume the better scenario happened and that it's Mutter. Let's read it inside. Not sure what you mean.
Chachamim were attacking all the takanos. Was this part of their takanos?
Because
there's no logic behind it.
Okay. I'm not getting into it now. That's already philosophical. Machlokas dealt with by the Ramban on the first Shoresh of Raman Sefer HaMidos. Why do we have various kulos in Yisrael Rabbanim? Is it because they served around naturally make and give the right to be make, or because they built in certain kulas?
That's the kind of suffix.
Aha. Okay, so the big lump.
The question is whether this is not no logic.
Okay, so the big lundus here, which I'm not going to get into, you first have to have a lundus. The big lundus that underlies many issues in this simon, just it's very subtle and would take a long time to get into and would still be hard to fully grasp. So I'm not going to get into it. I'm just going to point out that if you want to go through the simon be'ion, you will see. Every shach is dealing with this, and every taz, at least in the first half of the siman, is dealing with this. There are many subtle nafkaminas. Is what the nature, the lumbus is, if we have this din of tolin, is it just an example of safek darabanan l'kula? After all, you have two possibilities. You're not sure what's happened. One of them is kula, one of them is chomer, safek darabanan l'kula. So maybe this is just a hechitensi of safek darabanan l'kula. Or is it a separate principle, right? An independent din of tolin, right? Which maybe the chacham just built in some special two kula. Meaning, do they make a one kula of sabdur abon lekula, and one example is our simon, or are there two different kulas, kula of sabdur abon lekula and a kula of tolin? The difference between them is obviously very subtle. but the shach brings up, what about cases where you wouldn't apply Safdir Abon Lekula? Would you still apply Tolin? Like, what about any Sir Chamurim that you don't say Safdir Lekula? Would you, what about a Cheskes Issa you don't say Safdir Abon Lekula? Would you say Tolin, etc.? We're not going to get into it now, although if you look with a Lumdish eye, you'll see how it might come up. And if you read the Shachs, you'll even see it somewhat more explicitly. And if you read the Prima Gadim of the Shachs, you'll see it very explicitly. But without getting into the Lumdish, let's assume they built in this Kula. Is it part of a previous kula they built in or a new kula? Either way, the principle applies. And there are three different scenarios. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Shtei Kederos Achshel Heter Ve'Achshel Isser, in front of Shtei Chatichos Achshel Heter Ve'Achshel Isser, Ema Chatichi Mi Isser Drabanan Gil Shomno Shal Giv Nafal Ila Tov Eilu Mutarim Sh'am Tol L'Lomor Isser Nafal Tov Isser Ve'Heter L'Toch Ha Heter. What's the cases where you say Tolin? One case is, here you have Isser and Heter, and you have two pieces, Isser and Heter, and you don't know which fell into which, right? You can be Tole that the Isser fell into Isser and Heter fell into Heter, and your Heter is still Mutter. As long as you're dealing with an Isser Darabanan, right? Because you have no chance of violating Daraisa. V'afilam Heter shebedeinu eino rava al shofaneha. Even if the amount in these pots is this, not more, is the same as the amount of the chatzichos that fell. Meaning, even if the sizes are the same, it's not like a little fell into a lot. 2 ounce, 10 ounce chatzicha fell into 10 ounce of a stew, 10 ounce chatichim to a 10 ounce stew. You don't know which is which, you can assume heter phone to heter and iser phone to iser. That's one case. The second case is, chena din lo hai kana look at your acha shall basar shkut of enough ba acha be ilu she chaticha so in your dua inzo hui hi on a tone shall heter nafla a filo in a heter rabba al ha iser. Second case is, you only have a pot of mutter stew, sorry, you have two
Do you know which pot is mutter and aser there, in that first case?
One second. You have two chatichos, iser and heter. In this case, yeah, you know.
You just don't know which piece fell.
Fell into which, right. In this case, one of the two pieces fell into one pot, and you don't know which. You can be told that the heter fell into the heter, and that it is still mutter. Or the third scenario. The other scenario is you have two pots, and one fell into one of two, and you have one iser chaticha. Your note fell to the iser, which is harmless, or it fell to the heter, which would ruin it. You can be told that the iser fell to the iser. All of these, what all these have in common is that there's some chaticha falling to a pot. You don't know which chaticha fell to which pot. One possibility is that it's harmless. Iser fell to hit. Iser, the heter, still mutter. Heter fell to heter, still mutter. Iser fell to iser, the heter, still mutter. One possibility, the heter, still mutter. The other possibility is the heter got asered. You can be told that the better possibility.
The lashon of afilu in a heter, rabba le iser. That's shabbat.
Yes, it's been doing. That'll be clearly. Yes, that'll be yeah, but it wasn't all the same principles. That was a little more complicated. Mostly because there we're dealing with d'oraisas, and there it's a different kind of logic. Okay. That's the principles again, without getting into all of the nitty gritty details. Sif Beis. But I say we're not getting into the nitty-gritty details. We're getting into the main things that are halacha l'maaseh. We're just not getting into all the details, which are very uncommon, but maybe interesting from a lumdish perspective, that we're not getting into. But medvar Moshe told him, this is the answer to Menachem's question he just asked. She'ena iser gamki rabba l'heter. Iser rabba l'heter ein tolim l'hakel. When is this mutter? This is mutter if... Obviously, if the heter is pot is bigger than the iser chaticha, it might have fallen. Even if the heter pot is equal in size to the iser chaticha, but not, we can't do tolin if the heter pot is smaller than the iser chaticha. If the iser chaticha that fell is larger than what it fell into, then we can't do tolin anymore. That's clear from the Gemara. Exactly why is not 100% clear. It seems to be that the whole point of tolin, you need to say, like this pot that's mutter stayed mutter. So if the pot is the majority, then you can see it staying mutter. If it's 50-50, you can see it staying mutter. If the pot on the bottom is just the minority, then you can't really talk about it staying mutter. It's really less than what fell in. So therefore, you can't really say if something only continues as a miut of the pot, then you can't say that you're continuing, you're being told that the pot stayed mutter, because it didn't stay anything. It's now what used to be is only a miut. It was overwhelmed by a robe. It becomes an entirely new pot. Basically, if the chaticha wasn't, it's bigger than everything that was in the pot. It becomes an entirely new pot. You can't really say, we're just going to continue to assume it's okay. Okay. Yep. Hiya ha'isr shal Torah. This is all if the isr is drabbanan. When can we be told if the isr is drabbanan? Hiya isr shal Torah. Ain't told mahakal lomar l'hoka isr nafal. However, if the isr daraisa, what's an example of an isr drabbanan? You have, his example, shuman hagid, right, fell in. You had regular shuman and the shuman of the gananashim, which is only drabbanan. Or you had regular cheese and gvinazako, right? Which is derabbanan, right? But if you had a daraisa, let's say you had a vela and shluta, right? McDonald's and kosher light, then you can't be tolling Doraisa. It's a 50-50 chance of an Issa Doraisa. So then, Ein lo hakolomer Issa nachol, you can't say the Issa fell into the Issa, achi a heter rabba le Issa kadeshi shvatam in tofu deri Torah, unless there was enough heter that Midoraisa is bottled. What's the principle here? That if we're dealing with an Isser Durabbanon, then Tolan. What if we're dealing with an Isser Doraisa? Then we have to look at the worst case scenario, right? If Haroves might be Aser Midoraisa, then Ein Tolan. You can't take a chance on Isser Doraisa. But if the Isser is Batel Midoraisa, this is Sif Gimel. Now already foreshadowing Sif Dalet. Then Tolan. Basically, if the Isser is Doraisa, but Midoraisa would be Batel either way. It just doesn't have the sheer vittle of the Rabbanan, we're mitaken, then it can be Tolan. Let me read that example in Dalet, and that will make it much easier to follow. Haya had to rabble Isser Kadesh Shabbat Batel Midori Torah. If there was enough Hatter, you can Batel the Isser Midoraisa. Tolan Lahakal, you can be Tolan. Meaning, this is sort of like the case of a Safi Doraisa in his Galgal of Darabana, perhaps, or what they call it in the Lashon Post, Issa Doraisa Bashir Darabana. Case, that was an example. You have two pots, one of kosher meat, one of trade meat. The Nachlach Hatibles Avela Toch, actually having a piece of the Avela fell into one of them. And my Heter Shabbat there is Heter Rabba Ktsas Achlisla Avela. If the amount of the pots was more than the trades that fell in, Tol Mahakel, you could be told and be Mako. Fisha Bar Torah, Min Bamino Batavarova, Shachamitz Vichul Shisha. What's he saying? He's saying that if, let me just give some more examples here. If here you have, you know, Isser Drabbanan, and you have Isser and Heter, and you don't know where it fell, then you're Tola. Then it fell into the Isser, and the Heter is still okay. Even if here you have Isser Doraisa, and it fell into two pots, Isser and Heter, can you be Tola? Yes, if the worst case would only be Drabbanan. What would that case be? The case would be if this is Yesh bo rov, ve'ein bo shishim. If it fell into an Isser to, or even if it fall in, it's batel rov, just doesn't have shishim. And what detail do I need to add to make this only drabanan tarovis? Min b'mino. Then it's not a shot of doraisa. Even if it fell into the heter, it's batel rov doraisa. It's only drabanan you need shishim. In that case, we're told l'hakel, but ends the mechaber how you shteich there's a min echa be'isser min acher ain't told l'hakel sheyar be'heter shishon ala isser. However, if this would be min she'eno mino, that's a shashem tam kedikar doraisa. Then it's a sofik doraisa, and then we would not be mako. Okay, so the principle is very clear. Basically, bottom line, there are two scenarios, and one scenario is also drabon, the other scenario is mutter. We're mako. We're tole. If one scenario is also min doraisa, then we cannot be tole. The principle is very clear. And it doesn't make a difference why it's Darabana. It doesn't make no difference if the Isser is Darabana or if the Isser is Daraisa, but it would have been Batel Midaraisa, there's only a Shir Bitel Midarabana. That's the principle. Okay, hey. Ha you can. Shtei Kedera Shel Heter, Lofneim Shtei Chatzichos Acha Shel Heter V'Ach Shel Isser. What if there were slightly different case? You have two chatichos, Isser and Heter, and you have two kederos and Heter. Yeah?
So it's going back, I already mentioned it. Why isn't this contradicting the regular example of this Galgal Darabanan?
So this one shot might be based on that Chakira, because this is not the regular rule of Darabanan Makul, it's a special rule. Right?
But there's also something, because it fell for sure in the pot, you're just not sure which pot is different than knowing if it fell into the pot, period. I mean, the case is that we don't know if the Isser fell. Oh, we know for sure.
No, the case is we don't know what the amount. Right. If you don't know what fell where, then that's a special rule. Right, so it could be this is a special rule. That's the simplest answer. And then you can make it more complicated if you so desire. Now, sorry. What if you have this case? Isser and Heter fell into two Heter pots. So says the Shulchan Aruch, you can't shtake there shall Heter, with name shtake Hatichos, Achos shall Heter, Yachos shall Isser, Benafel Achos tozo, Yachos tozo, Asura shtehen, Afil v'Isser Drabonon, Im Eim v'Shom Achas, Kedei Levatel ha'Isser, Vol Yesh v'Achos, Kedei Levatel Isser, Shtehen Mutarb. So now you have to differentiate. Let's say the Isser was 3. And this Heter is 100. And this Heter is, 120. Then both pots are usher. Why are both pots usher? Because there are two scenarios, one with an Isser Drabbanan and one that's Mutter. If it fell into this pot, it's usher. You have an Isser. And if it fell into this pot, it's an Isser. The two scenarios are equal. And the post can write, even if one pot is more expensive and you like better, still, how luckily the two scenarios are equal. So if the two scenarios are equal, then you have to say they're both usher. Why? Because there's no tolling. Tolling means you assume it worked out the good way, not the bad way. Here, either way is bad. Just, is it bad for the right kadera or is it bad for the left kadera? One of the kaderas is bad. And therefore, we have to be machmer in both of them since we can't own the tliya. We can't go either way. So if we go this way, we'll say, why should we answer this amount to this? Go this way, say, why should we answer this amount to this? Therefore, we have to answer both of them. What?
Even the Bailey Shalvazah.
Okay. Let me come back to the Nachman's point in a second. Very good. What's the other scenario, though? If you have Isser Heter, and the Isser is 3, and it falls into one of two pots of Heter, one is 100, and one is 200, then what would you say in this scenario? That's the end of the Mechaber. Well, think. If the Isser fell here, then this pot's Isser. If the Isser fell here, if it means a 200, then
Bata.
Everything's Bata, right? Because where it fell is Bata. Then you can be told that. That fell, meaning there's one scenario that everything's okay. Why is everything okay? Because the 100 pot not only Heter fell into, right? You're told sort of this. The Heter fell into the 100 pot, the Isser fell into the 200 pot, it was Bata. So therefore, everything's okay.
So the same thing as the top case, it's just...
Exactly. Just a different impotency. Meaning, one example is you can be told that no Isser fell in the Heter. Or you can be told that an amount that's Batel fell into the Heter. So in this case, you can be told that. In this case, you can't. Menachem asks a very deep question, which everyone should ask if they learned Simon Kuf Tzadik. Right?
Before we mention those.
Okay. What Mishnah and Taros does this case remind us of? That, well, you can't be told it, because like either way would be the same, and how can you pick one over the other? What Mishnah and Taros does this remind us of? Shnei Shmilin, right? Remember, Safik is Lakula, Tomer B'Shasarabi. Not for the same reason as here, Pashtas. Separate reason, right? So if I go on one path, then I say I'm Tomer. If a guy comes one of the other path, Tomer. But if two of us come, and we each went on one path, right? We split and said, let's meet later. We each went on one path. What do they tell us? If you alone had come, you'd be Tomer. If you alone had come, you'd be Tomer. But we can't pick you to be Tomer and him Tomer. We can't pick you to be Tomer and him Tomer. We can't say you're both Tomer. So you're both Tomer. And that's very similar to what happens here. We can't be mocked in this pot. Because why is this pot any better? We can't be mocked in that pot. Because why is that pot any better? We can't be mocked in both of them, because that's impossible. Therefore, we answer both of them. The machlokas, Rishonim, Achronim here is, what if they belong to, the pots belong to two different people, and they come to ask separately? So this is a big machlokas. Let's make ourselves a little space, and then see more markers. Where do we have space? We'll find space.
Can they ask them separately?
Yes, what if they belong to two people who ask separately? If the two people come to ask together, then of course it's going to be usher, because what can we say? We can't say Reuben's pot is mutter, because why is Reuben better than Shimon? We can't say Shimon's pot is mutter, because why is Shimon better than Reuben? We can't say they're both mutter, because they're not. So we have to say they're both usher. But what if Reuven comes separately and Shimon comes separately? Reuven comes and says, mine and Shimon's pot, and Issachar fell into one of them, and I don't know which. So if you tell Reuven, oh, from your perspective, we're told that your pot's mutter. Well, Shimon's not your problem. And then Shimon comes tomorrow. Can we tell Shimon, or he goes to a different rabbi? Can we tell Shimon, from your perspective, you can be told it fell to Reuven's pot? Meaning, from Shimon's perspective, it fell to Reuven's pot, everything's okay. It's not his problem. And from Reuven's perspective, it fell to Shimon's pot, everything's okay. So can we say that if they come separately, they can each be mekel, that their pot is okay? And what do they care about the other pot?
I'm understanding. The bottom picture right here, both of those are offered because the quantities don't. You're talking about the 200 one?
No, come to this one. So they're both us.
Lechora, they're both us, so who cares if they're acting separately?
Because if I'm Reuven and I own this one, and I get separately, what can happen to Reuven asking about you? There was my pot and another pot. The Issachar fell into one of them. The Tola didn't fall into your pot. He's only asking about his pot. What does he care about the other pot?
But
Pharisee is doing the other pot's not relevant. Right? There are two scenarios. Either it fell into his pot and it's Usher, or it fell into the other pot and it's Mutter. So there are two scenarios. One Usher, one Mutter. He doesn't care. He doesn't own the other pot. It doesn't affect him. So maybe you could say, for Reuven, it's like the other pot is crazy. He doesn't care what happens to the other pot. Or do you say no? You have to count both. Think about both pots. Basically, if Reuven comes without Shimon, can you only think about Reuven's pot and pretend Shimon's pot doesn't exist? And if Shimon comes without Reuven, can you do the same? This is a fundamental machlokes Rishonim. I am not going to get into the svaras. I'll just mention the shitas. The shitas are, it's machlokes Rishonim and Achronim. The Ramban, followed by the Shach, says Mutter. No, when Reuven comes, he's basically saying, look, I have one pot, and there was this other thing that's not important, that has no value. There was a value. There was a pot with food, and a pot with nothing of value. I want to know where the Issachar fell. You say, you can be Makel, the Issachar didn't fall into your pot of food. It fell into a pot with nothing of value to you. And then Shimon comes and says, I have my pot, and there's this other pot, which was not anything to me. You say, you can be told that it fell into the other pot, not you. And even though we're giving the two mutually contradictory kulas, it's okay, because each of them has their own halachic psak, and they don't have to be consistent. That's clear. I don't know, why do I have to be consistent with you? Like the Shnei Shvilin. If I walk on the right path, if I walk on one path, on the rightmost path, and I come, they'll be tired of you. If you walk on the leftmost path and you come, they'll be tired of you. Why? Because we're each separate and other.
Maybe you can't compare. You said yourself you can't
compare. Nekudas HaKesef says not so poshut. You can't really compare, because over there, each path was really
in the light should be tahor. It's just that it doesn't look right at the end, because there's so
exactly. So the Rashba, and this is the Psak of the Taz, says Aser. So Machlokeshat, Ramban and Rashba, Machlokeshat and Talbi, they know what's a Machlokeshat, and they just argue which Rishon to Paskin like. Zev points out, this case is not so Pashat. This case is not so Pashat. It's not exactly the same. Over there, okay, each one walk on one path. What's the problem? Over here, the whole point of Tolan is that we have to know there are two possibilities and there are two pots, and how can you act as if there's only one pot?
It's on one side, but the other side, it's a sort of heter in the rice of there.
Okay.
Just that you don't want to use it when it looks absurd.
Right.
But each case in itself is a sort of heter. Okay. Know, sort of heter
so, not so, correct. So, not so pashut. Not so poshut. Say the Shach thinks it's true anyway, and the Ramban thinks it's true anyway. Not so poshut. Halacha l'maisa, they're going to argue, and I don't know if this comes up terribly often, but it's unclear how we paskin in this case because machlokas Shach and Taz. Not so clear. This is comparable to Shnei Shvilin. Okay, but the same machlokas comes up, of course, in another place. We have Kliya, which is Simkuf Tzadik Samim, right? If two women of equal status, they're both, let's say, Jewish Tahora women. Right, they share a bathing suit, and then they find a kesem on it, right, the red stain. Then, the Shach and Taz have the exact same machlokas. If they come to the rabbi together and say, look, this bathing suit, we both wore it, we don't know who's a nida, we don't know whose blood this is, then of course they're both tamei. What if one of them comes to the rabbi without the other, and the other one goes to the rabbi without the first? Then you have the exact same machlokas. The Shach would say they can both be mekel. We tell Rachel, oh, it's not your problem, it's Leah's problem. Then we tell Leah, it's not your problem, it's Rachel's problem. And the Taz and the Rash were saying, no way. In this case, where it's a case of tolling, you can't just be tolling someone else and ignore them. So, yeah, in the two places where you have Kliya, you have the same Machlokas Achronim.
Yeah, but that's a little weird because the Tolan come in, they have Tolan there, totally different than this.
Okay, you could, and Echanami, you could have been Machalik, although many of the Achronim are not. I'm sure you could find some more.
The other way. I'm saying over here, if you want to go to the Tolan Mahal, you could say
Safek. I think Zev's more correct. We find that the Tola by Safek is more mental than Safek Darabana. Correct, even on a Sash Rochel for Tola.
Is it already a
Kuzatol?
Not only regular, it's not like it's a Dam Tzipor. They both have the Gris and there's one Gris of Dam Tzipor. So over there, the Tassel is a Svar that if you want you to use the Dam Tzipor, you have to.
Ah, okay, Enochanami. Okay.
Different Tola, not regular.
You're right, okay. But let's leave that for now. And of course, there's more to be in, but we'll just leave the base of Machlokas for now. Sivbav. Hayukan shtek deros shel heter. Sivbav makes it is really just perfectly logical. You have two mutter kederos. The nachal isr tov achas mehem, yadul eis a nachal. And isr fell into one of them, and you know which one it fell into. So now it's very pasha. Let's say you have two kederos.
Right.
Anyone see the black marker? Is it right?
Yeah.
You have two kederos, and then Isser fell into one of them, and you know which it is. And then Isser falls in, and you don't know where. So then, the nafal Isser doch achsam ye'ein yodul is a nafal, and then another Isser fell into it, and you don't know where it fell. And the omer lamakum Isser risho nafal gam sheni. We can be told that wherever the first one fell, the second one fell. That's obvious why. Because basically, after the first one fell, this became a Kederis Isser. So if there's a Kederis Isser, Kederis Heter, then they fell in. Of course, as the Ramah is going to comment, this Kula only works if this first Isser was more than a 60th and wasn't Batal. Right? If the first Isser was Batal, it doesn't count. What it means is that first Isser fell, and that first Isser fell and Aser, the leftmost Kedera, now it's a Kederis Isser, and you can be Tola. Aval, here's this is a big machlokes, the machaber is machron. I'm sorry. Aval, says the machaber. Im nafal isl tov achlem v'ein yodul eiz a nafal v'acharkach nafal isl tov achlem yodul eiz a nafal shtei hamasuros. If first an isser falls and you don't know where it landed, and then another isser falls and it lands in the one on the left, the question is, can you go back and like retroactively be told that? Now that the one on the left became usher, can I retroactively go back and be told that? And the answer is Pashat, no. You can't be told it retroactively. Otherwise, whenever it fell to two kederos, I can be clever, just pour some lard into one of them and then retroactively be told on it. No. You can only be told that if one is usher, one is mutter at the time. If one becomes usher later, it's too late to be told that. And the Ramah adds, "Adapshin shishon lethal isher shenafal sham bohan shishon lethal isher shenafal sham havi kilu no lo nafal sham isher klal." He points out that in this scenario, here we are Tole, but only if the first Nefila was more than a 60th. Because if the first Nefila was less than a 60th, then it's as if it didn't happen, right? If first a drop of lard falls in one on the left, that's irrelevant. Nothing happened. It's only if the one on the left became Usser. And if it happened in the right order. If first one of them becomes usher, now you can be told on it. But if afterwards one becomes usher, then it's too late.
No conditions.
It's simple logic. Correct.
No, it's more than that. Sif Aleph.
Correct. And Echanami. Okay, now Zion is a completely different din. Aleph through Vav were the same din, please. And basically, if you looked at it logically, Aleph said everything, and the rest was just explicating different examples of details, of course, with some subtle chidushim thrown in. Zion is a new din. It has nothing, well, according to most postmen, it has nothing to do with Sifan Aleph through Vav. It's just also about a case where something fell, you don't know where it fell into. Right? But otherwise, the separate principle, that's the majority opinion, which we'll stick with. What's going on in Zion? This is a Mefurish Mishnah in Trumos, sorry. Fascinating case. What if you have right, Trumos. Anyone remember, by the way, what the shear of Bethel of Truma is? Right, 1 in 100. That's a special chumah derabana by Truma. Agav, anyone remember what other Yisurim they made a special extra chumah, you need a larger number of Bethel?
Orla.
Orla and? And Kliyakarim, the 200. Okay, so let's say Truma. Let's say the following case of Truma. Here you have Truma that is 3. And it falls into one of these two chulins, right? If it fell into one of chulin, one of truma, then what would we do? If it fell into one of them, one is chulin, one is truma, what would we say? Not what I wrote on the board. It fell into one of two things, one is chulin, one is truma, what would we say?
We'd be tola.
If it was truma derabanan, we'd be tola, right? Truma deraisa, we wouldn't. Truma derabanan, we would. And that's in the Mishnah. So we'll talk about truma derabanan, say you're tola. Here's the difference. It fell into two of chulin. Now, it fell into two of chulin, and let's say each one was 200. Right? So they're both equal. It wouldn't be bottle on any of them. Right? Because you need 300 to bottle it. So what might we think? We might think that now they're both usher, right? Even if you're a bottle, they're both usher. You can't be told in either of them. Certainly if it's the rice, so they're both usher.
But is it intrinsically usher, or is it usher for you to eat? Meaning it's still usher for a coin.
No, I mean usher for Yisrael. Fine. Usher for Yisrael.
Right.
I'm Yisrael, so I'm looking.
Well, you make the argument that because it's not...
One could, and there's a lot of lumdus to discuss there, but the maisa we don't in these contexts. Here's the chiddush mission truma. So how you can't stay there? Shall have to enough lishol toka achmehen. Vein yadu leizom nafal vein ba'achas kli levatol va'isar v'yish v'shtein kli levatlo. Neither one of them is enough to be vatolit, but both of them together are enough to be vatolit. Shtein mitzarfos levatlo. They're mitzarif. Basically, what do we say? We don't know where it fell. We say it's as if you had 3 truma into 400 chulin, and it's batel. It's batel v'meya. Or ola, as we say in truma. We call it ola, not batel, because you have to take that amount out and give it to the kohen, so you don't rip off the kohen. There's a big machlokes achronim here on this if. Sorry. Okay, that is a great question. This the easier pshat to understand what the Taz and the Gra say that we're talking about midrabanan. Either it's truma drabanan or even if it's truma daraisa. Midaraisa, bro, would be enough to evacuate because it's been bimino and, you know, 100 is certainly a sheer drabanan. It's easier. The Taz and Gra assume that this is, that this kula is only for an Isser Darabana. Right? Only, let's say, Truma Darabana. Truma of lettuce is only Darabana. Or when you need the Shear of 100, the Shear of 100 is only Darabana. Right? Min Bamino, you only need 2 Midaraisa, or Ro Midaraisa. That's the Taz and Gra here assumed. It's in the middle of a long discussion in both of them. but the Gra says in the middle of your test, the Kol Zeh Shetol Mahakal with Mutter Min HaTorah, all of this is when it's Mutter Min HaTorah. And he's on our Sif. The Taz also previously on the last Sif assumes our Sif is only Drabanan Agav Orcha. However, the Shach and the Bach assume. Bach assume even for an Isser d'oraisa, even tzachshash min Isser d'oraisa, we're with Sarif them as if they're together. And that is a big chiddush. The achronim are not exactly, it seems to be like a d'oraisa principle. Anything that could be mixed is as if it is mixed. That would be a big chiddush saying that's a d'oraisa principle. What's the principle? Even for an Isser d'oraisa, we say anything that could be combined is as if it is combined. That is a significant chiddush to say that on a Darabana level, not such a big deal. You know, it's smaller than a lot of other interior Darabana. On a Daraisa level, that's a significant chiddush. But the Bach and the Shach seem to interpret the Mechaber that way. Let me just fill in the detail, then I'll take Isaac. But even if one is in the main floor and one is in the second floor, they're mitzaref. Like, even if they're not next to each other, different floors of the house. Although the Achronim say not if they're different towns.
Where was the Isur?
What?
Where was the Isur?
Okay, so you have to have a case where, you know, you sent your kid in with your kid was holding a bag of truma, and he says, I put it into the big bin, and he doesn't remember which, and you can't get the information out of him, or some weird scenario like that. But who had been a few lameya? And likewise, even if there's 100 different ones, they're all mitzarif. Let's say there's just 100 ones with 3 each, and the 3 fell into one of them, then they're mitzarif. Okay, but that getting into practicality, like one of them, just measure and see if it would work out that way. But when is this true? Only if they're things that really should be mixed, like they're both owned by the same person. Because if a same person owns 2 different baskets of produce, he could combine them, right? Because a person would mix them. But if they belong to 2 different people, then they're not mitzari. The principle is this only works if they're things that should be mixed, like they both belong to the same person. But if they belong to different people, what do you mean? I don't mean pour in together my wheat and your wheat. We each have our own wheat. The Achronim on the Rishach and all the other Achronim here give other scenarios. For example, let's say it falls into one of 2 pots, and one pot is milk and one is flashing. Then obviously you can't say it's if they're combined, because you can't combine milk and flashing. They even say, what if it falls into 2 pots that can't go together? Let's say you have, I don't know, dry wine and sweet wine. So you can't mix them. Anything that is not normally mixed, either because it belongs to different people, or because halachically you shouldn't mix meat and milk, or because just taste-wise you wouldn't mix it, you can't apply this kula. You can only apply this kula to things that would normally be combined in the normal course of life. I don't mean they have to be combined. I mean they very well could be combined. If you have 2 things that could easily be eaten together, halachically they go well together, practically they go well together, economically they're owned by the same person and there's no problem mixing them together, then you can say this kula, that it's as if it's all mixed. Another phrase for this kula that we've seen in Simon Kofhei is kol ma shenichnas besofek mitzaref levatel. Right? Whatever is in the suffix that the Isser might be there is as if it's all together to be mevatelit. That's the principle of the Mechaber.
What did the Shachman Bach say about this case in the bottom right corner here? Why wouldn't they say that you can combine those?
You could. What the Shachman Bach would say is, this is your Rabbanan case, so it's not only Kasha and Shachman Bach, it's Kasha on everyone. Right. So basically everybody has that Kasha themselves, and they give one of 2 answers. Either they say these belong to 2 people, that's why you couldn't combine them, but that only works for the Rashba, because for the Rabbah, they belong to 2 people for another reason. Or they say much simpler. It's 60 and 80. Even if you combine them, it's still not enough to be bottled. Right?
Everyone agrees that if it were one of these did fit, then you could.
Yes. Yes. So far. Everyone agrees within the Mechaber. We haven't gotten to the Ramah yet. Everyone agrees for you. For me, not so pashut, right?
This doesn't sound very much like the Doraisa, so the last time.
Okay. In Hakanami,
when the Doraisa is looking like this, well,
the man they post him admit. Oh, well, if you want to, you can always say it's the Doraisa Svara, but the Chilukim are only Drabana. I mean, the Doraisa would only be butter. So if you want to, you can say that.
That's a lot better.
Okay. Now, however, here you get to a fundamental machlokas Rashba and Ra'ah. The Ramah, the Achronim explain, the Ramah says, Yesh machmir, dafil adam echel ein lahakel. Some people are machmir, that you can't be mako. You can't use this kula. And what's the Ramah's pshara? Letzar hefzi yesh lahatr, and the Shach said hefzi meruba. He says, I don't like this kula. We should only rely on this kula for hefzi meruba. And he says 2 things. A, don't use this heter unless it's heter meruba. And even if the heter meruba, don't really rely on the heter. Actually mix them. Therefore, the worst you've done is get to listen to Achila. You don't really have any chash. So says the Ramah, I don't like this heter. And therefore, I'll only let you use it for heter meruba. And even for heter meruba, I won't let you fully rely on the heter. You have to actually mix them to make sure it really is bottle. That's the chumrah of the Ramah. It's a big chumrah. He could have just said, you rely on Preston Maruba, which is a Chomer. Or he could say, you can rely on it, but actually mix them together to make sure it's bottled. Instead he says, only perhaps in Maruba, and even perhaps in Maruba, you have to actually mix them, if you can. The Achronim say if you can. So the Ramah is really against this Heter. What the Achronim deal with is not mystery, meaning the Achronim all explain very nicely. It's only mystery to us, because we haven't read the Farshim yet, is why does the Ramah have such trouble with this Heter if it's a Mefurish Mishnah? It's a Mishnah in Trumos. The Mishnah says in Trumos explicitly, even if one is in the Bayis, one is the Aliyah. Right, Aliyah means not what we call Attic. It means second floor. it's a Mefurish Mishnah. What if the Ramah have a problem with the Mishnah and make two Chumras, only relying on perhaps in Merubah, and even then, actually mix it, and don't like really rely on it. Right, so if you actually mix it, what you're doing in the end is, you're just relying that you can be a Vatel Chachila. Like, worse comes worse, you just a Vatel Chachila. You don't actually Mechshash Isser. And even then, only for Hefzer Merubah. What's the Ramah's problem? So all they're going to point out is the fundamental machlokes between the Rashma and the Ramah. Everyone agrees to the Mishnah in Trumos. You can't not agree with the Mishnah in Trumos. I mean, you can, if the Gemara sends the Machlokes Tanaim or something, but in this case, like, no, there's nothing in Chazal to question this. It's a Mishnah in Trumos. There is no Bryce against it. There's no Maran against it. It's Pasha. Let's look at the case of the Mishnah in Trumos. The Mishnah in Trumos is, here you have, you know, a pint, right? Or a bushel. One bushel of wheat. Truma. You don't know where it fell. Here you have chulin, and here you have chulin, 200 bushels, right? You're a real farmer, a serious amount. I think a bushel was a lot. What do we say? We're saying, mefurish. Right, Mefurish Mishnah in Hebrew is Mishnah Mefureshet. Mishnah Mefureshet, that it's 1 into 400 and Mutter. That's a Mefurish Mishnah. What's the real Machlokas Mechaber and Ramah? The real Machlokas Mechaber and Ramah, you have to have in the context. What did the Mechaber say? Ha you kan shteik deiros shel heter, but no iso toch achas mehem. He's not talking about bushels of wheat. He's talking about kideros, right? He's talking about kideros. What's the case of the Shulchan Aruch, Simen Kuf Yud Aleph, Sif Zayin? Here you have 1 ounce of lard. It would be the same as an ounce of ham, right? This one. And it falls into one of two kederos, right? You don't know which it fell into. If you knew which it fell into, that would be different. One of two kederos. Here you have a stew, a heter stew, and here you have a heter stew, right? And how big are these heter stews? Let's say this is 50 ounces. I mean fluid ounces because we always measure by volume. This is 50 ounces. So what does the mechaber say? What does the Mechaber say? And he's just quoting Rashba. He says, it's as if 1 fell into 100 and mutter. And the Ramah says, no way. Only, I disagree. Behefs and Merubah, you can be solech on it if you actually mix the stews. But it's not really mutter. Why? Why is this case not so pashut? What's the fundamental difference in the case of the Mechaber and the case of the Mishnah in Trumos? Exactly. What's the fundamental difference? The fundamental difference is this is a case of yavish b'yavish. This is a case of lach b'lach. Yavish b'yavish, what's the issue? Did the taste really go into anything if you mix bushels of wheat? I mean, that's like a flour, right? Flour might be like, I'm going to have kernels, right? No, it's just all jumbled together. So if it's all jumbled together, who cares if it's in one bin or two bins? Who cares if it's in one floor? That's two floors. It's all jumbled together. If you think about it, if I tell you, yavish for yavish, I have 20 kosher hot dogs and one trade hot dog, does it make a difference if they're all on the same table, or if they're in two tables, or if they're in two different floors? However, here it's a case of lach lach. What's the problem with lach for lach? Lach b'lach is something Yavish B'yavish does. Nisina's tam. What's the problem in lach b'lach? The problem in lach b'lach is that, hold on, this might taste trafe, and this might taste trafe. Like, how can you combine them? How can you do it combining them? There's a tam, right? What's the objection? Let's use the objection of the Re'ah in the Bedik HaBayis and the Ramah in normal circumstances. They say no. Each stew might taste treif. You can't ignore ta'am. When it's Yavish B'yavish, no show of ta'am. It's as if they're combined. But what do you mean? If they're combined, then you can't taste it. But right now you can taste it. How can you pretend you can't taste it? Basically, their objection is that really you can taste the lard. So you can't pretend that you don't taste the lard. What are we going to say? We're going to say it's combined. After all, just eat both stews. What do you mean? When you eat one stew, you're going to taste lard. Taste is a fact. You can't make a halachic halos to ignore taste. Over here, there's no issue of taste. It's apples or wheat. Nothing tastes like anything. So it's all a matter of halachic halos. So, as it appears, hence this. And lach b'lach, one of these stews tastes trafe and one tastes kosher. How can you say it's as if they're combined? It's a fact that one of them tastes trafe. That's the objection of Ramah. And it's really the Ra'an, the Bedik HaBayis. The Ra'an, the Bedik HaBayis, and the Rashba. The Mishnah chooses to be Yavish v'Yavish, where there's no time. Where there's time, how can you be Mako? Either the right one tastes trafe or the left one tastes trafe. So what does the Ramah say back? What does the Ramah say? You're right. You can't be Mako when there's time. Only Behetz and Meruba will be Mako. And even Behetz and Meruba won't really be Mako. I'll combine the two stews and eliminate the time first.
So the Ramah is making a distinction between the Amino and the Shein Amino also?
No. The Shach says that even in Minbamino, that would be a good thought. The Shach says even in Minbamino, since it's based on Xer of equating it to Minbamino, Shein Amino, we have to equate it. What?
Why should the Mechaber argue?
Why should the Mechaber argue that? That's really the good question, which the Achronim don't have a great answer to. If you say the Mechaber holds Tam Kikud Rabbanan, that would help, but it's Simon Tzadiches, he didn't hold Tam Kikud Rabbanan. He held Tam Kikud Zoraisa. So the real answer is, I'm not exactly sure how to justify the Mechaber, because it seems like a good time. Unless the Mechaber would just say no. There's a rule called Omed Bivolo Kabbalo Dummy, which overrides Metzias of Tam. But you're right, it's strange. That's why the Achronim all like the Ramos Chumrah, because the Ra'ah has a good point. He has a good point that when it comes to Tam, now he extends it a little, as Isaac asked. Even when it's Minuino, there's no real Tam, since we generally equate them, we equate them here also. One could have said to only be Machmer and Mimashaino Mino. Right? But, so in this case, he is Machmer a little more than you might have thought he absolutely had to be logically. Lemaitza, we hold like the Ramah. At least the Ashkenazim hold like the Ramah. Could be Sfardim also. I don't know, he has a good Taina. Certainly the Ashkenazim hold like the Ramah, that we don't use the Kula except for Hefz and Meruba, and even the Hefz and Meruba, we mix them together.
Once you have this Svarah,
correct, but
once you have the star, it's not so hard to hear.
Correct. Okay, so much for Simon Kofi and Aleph. Again, I don't know if these things come up every day, but I can imagine they might sometimes. Okay, now where is this? Which volumes should? Okay, if you just have to press the plus button on top of your body line, you're okay. I said we're going to briefly, Bikias, just look at a tiny part of Simon Kufyud Beis. Okay, Kufyud Beis is Dinei Pas Akum. Basically, Tilchos Machli Akum. Kufyud Beis is Pas Akum. Says the Mechaber in Sif Aleph, Asr Chom Lechol Pashal Am Men Ubi Kuchov Mishom Chaslas. Chazal Asr Dinei Pas Akum, so first Mishnah in Avodah Zarah. These are the things of Goyim that are Mutter Bahanoah, but you're not allowed to eat. Hapas, Vahatzolkos, etc. Why? Because it'll lead to intermarriage. Adds the Ramak, when Shem Rashi, Pilamak, Vlekim, Shem Chaska, Asr, even the case where there's no specific chash of intermarriage, Right? Let's say his case was, what if it's only priests in a monastery who bake bread and there's no intermarriage because there's no marriage? Nonetheless, it's a general rule. That's how halakha Judaism works. Right? You don't say, am I going to end up intermarrying in this case? It's a general rule. You're not letting goyish bread. Well, also, a pashal means meaning dagon. Of course, the chalos bread is only bread made of the five types of grain, right? Which we are nohig to our wheat, barley, rye, spelt, and oats. But bread made out of rice and other legumes, right, is not called bread halachically, and therefore is no iser of pas akum. Right? So for example, if in Mexico they make cornbread, not what they call cornbread in the supermarket. In the supermarket they call cornbread is wheat bread with a little corn flavor. But actual cornbread they make in Mexico, or if you go to Japan and China and they make actual rice bread, or like just as a, for whatever reason, they make bread out of they make bread out of, you know, on Pesach they make potato starch bread. Then there's no iser pas akum, just not a chalos pas. Now, of course, what should someone say to me? Well, I understand it's not a chalos pas, but whatever's not pas doesn't make it okay. If something's not pas and it's made by a goy, what is it? Fishal akum, right? In the lashon of the Mishnah, the lashon of the Mishnah is hapas and shlokos. Shlokos means cooked food, right? In our lashon, we call this pasakum, and we call this bishalakum. So hold on. Basically, everything's either, I don't mean everything's usher, a lot of things are mutter, but everything's either in the realm of pasakum or it's in the realm of bishalakum. How do you know what realm it's in? It is? If it's pas, you use the rules of pasakum, which has chumras and kulas, more kulas, but chumras and kulas. If it's a tavshil, you use the rules of bishalakum, which has chumras and kulas. So what does it say here? If they make rice bread, it's not pasakum. It's obviously not pasakum, right? It's not alamechia. It's not benji, right? It's not hamotzi, not until you die. Why isn't it bishlakum? So Rama says, "V'gam no asher filim shul mishulu yevolchav gam ol im ein ol al shom lachem." And it means if, because it's not fit for a king's table, then it's also not bishlakum. There's a rule in pasakum; it makes no difference if it's fit for a king's table or not. But in bishlakum, everyone knows from high school that it's only usher if it's olal shulchan malachim. So that's what the Rama he says. How does he interpret the mechaber? He means if you make bread out of rice, then in most rice bread is not olal shulchan malachim, so it's not pas, and it's also not an iser of bishul. If it would be olal shulchan malachim, then it would have to be an iser of bishulakum. What they make nowadays on Pesach, they make bread out of potato starch. Like if you go to those hotels where you pay $10,000, and then you pay $10,000, not only do you get a lot of other amenities, but you get an exemption from the Isser Chametz, right? Because they just make everything out of potato starch. So that bread of potato starch, if it's good enough for Orthodox Jews on Pesach, then it's much better if it's made by Goyim, because it's not pas, it's from potato starch, and it's not Isser Bishul, because you wouldn't serve it to a king. But if they're so skilled that they make it taste as good as regular bread, then it's fit for a king's table, and then it's not pasakum, but it's usher to the bishulakum. Okay, so minastam, if there's ashgacha hotel, they make sure, either they make sure that it's not such good quality, and it's only fit for Orthodox Jews on Passover, not for goyim, Orthodox Jews all year long, or they just make sure that a Jew participates in the cooking process, and then there's no problem. Okay, we'll get to that. Let me just point out for a second. Yeah.
What's the basic idea for the distinction between a king's table and not king's table?
Okay, we'll get there. I really want to catch you in a pas now. I just want to point out one thing. A lot of people are mistaken about what's the difference between pas and tavshil. A lot of people think that pas is something you always make hamotzi on, and tavshil is everything else. That is incorrect halachically. That is incorrect halachically. Pas is something which you would ever make hamotzi on. Meaning pas includes pas avot bekisnin. There's a kind of pas called pas avot bekisnin. If I knew how to translate pas avot bekisnin, then I'd be smarter than anyone for the last 800 years. All halachos. Pas includes pas avot bekisnin. Pas avot bekisnin means, with all the kinds of pas avot bekisnin, right? It means babka, it means cakes, it means cookies, it means pretzels. All these things are pas avot bekisnin. Both. Fine, for now, kuf yudbet. The rules of kuf yudbet This is Simon Kuf Yud Bet. This is Kuf Yud Gimel. Kuf Yud Bet applies not only to bread, to anything which, if you're Koveya Suda, you'd make Hamotzi, right? Anything which you'd make Hamotzi if you ate a whole meal out of, right? Berekas and pizza and cookies and cakes, that all called pas for all halachic purposes. It's Chayiv and Challah. L'maisa, we never take off challah from cakes at home because we just don't use the right amount of flour in home baking. But all possible kisses is chayim and challah because it's pas. It has the rules of pas akum because it's pas. Bein l'kula, bein l'chula, bein l'chumra. For all halachic purposes, pas akum is pas. Pas. What? Berekas is possible in kissing. You have a meal of berekas, you wash. Okay, we'll argue about that.
Doesn't that mean 90% is not that, and that thing is not, it's not l'hazbiya. We'll just hold it together.
Maybe you eat different berekas than I do. I mean the kind of berekas that I eat. The kind of berekas that I eat are things that people eat to fill up. They're a real part of a meal.
They're being filled up on the potatoes, not from the thing.
No, they're eating.
That thing is nothing. It's tiny.
Okay, maybe we have different berekas. What was I doing? Pass about the kissing. Is pas. What does Bishul Akum include? This includes mizonos foods, which are not pasta b'kissin. What kind of mizonos foods are not pasta b'kissin?
Pasta.
Pasta.
Donuts.
We paskin crepes because they're so thin that they don't count as any kind of pas. Porridge. Meaning, mizonos, there are two kinds of mizonos food. There's mizonos food, which is a tavshil, and there's mizonos food, which is a pas, just a lower level pas called baba kissin. So this includes pasta, hot cereals, etc. Okay, someone mentioned donuts.
Yeah.
So donuts are very controversial. Some of us who ever learned challah notes and achlokes between the Tam and the other Rishonim, the mainstream psak. The mainstream psak on donuts is, I think the majority psak on donuts is to say that they're not pas. However, it's machlokes rishonim in many areas of challah and other things, and brachas, we try to be machlok both ways, they're going to say. So donuts and kreplach are the same thing. They're a thick dough that's cooked. Right? Just kreplach is a thick dough that's cooked in water, and donuts is a thick dough that's cooked in oil, or that's, what do you call it? Deep fried, that's cooked in oil. Okay, so kreplach and donuts is a machlokes rishonim based on the mission of Tzvos Yisav Sof Musufkin, Tzvos Musufkin Sof Yisav. We're not going to get into that. Lemaisa, what if someone eat a whole meal of donuts? I admit that there was a time in my life when that was a halacha lemaisa shayla. This is after I got married, but before my wife realized she had to keep an eye on my bodega purchases. So then you get into halachic shaylas and sfeikos, which we're not going to get into now. Okay. This is just to clear things up. Now, base. We'll come back to this. Base. Yesh makomos. Right? When it comes to pas akum and aleph, very poshut. Pas akum is aser. Shalom al Yisrael. And it doesn't even matter if it's fit for a king's table or not. All pas akum is aser. Right? The big machlokes we're not getting into is pas akum worse than shlokos, better than shlokos. Did they make the gzera first? Did they make the gzera at the same time? Make the gzera later? Okay, ayin shum. Not for now. Beis, all of a sudden we find a kula. In the Gemara has a debate whether or not they were matur pas akum. The Gemara clearly has at least a havamina, and maybe even a shita, that they were matur pas akum. Okay, the simple. If I just read the Gemara, I might think there's a discussion. It says a few times they thought they were matur pas akum, but they really weren't. And then there's a day, if they were matur pas akum, what kind of pas akum they matur? Simple pshat in the Gemara, I might have thought that they were. Sorry, this is the Gemara Lamed Hey Beis. What it say? Hamar kind of real pas lo hutra b'bezdin. The bezdin wasn't matur pas akum. Then they have a whole discussion. Obviously, this is a big issue in the days of Chazal. Were they matur pas akum or not? Why would they be matur pas akum? Why would they be matur pas akum? Because if you remember in the old days, right? Don't be a modern day Western. Don't be a modern day rich Westernized person. right, who, what do you eat bread? You eat bread. If you're in the mood for the taste of bread, you eat bread. If you're not, you eat something else. And if you're Orthodox Jew, so you eat bread for ritual purposes, right? No, imagine you would fast years ago, or even nowadays, in rural countries of the world, where people live on a dollar a day, not like us. So, bread is how you live. You live on bread, right? You need a certain amount of calories to live, and you need certain nutrients. You live on bread. Anything else is a luxury. That's how all our ancestors lived. That's why everything's tufel to the halotzi, right? Philosophically, you don't live only on bread, you live on motzah fi Hashem. But obviously, if a philosophical part of the Torah has to write, you don't live on bread, you really live on Hashem, then obviously, from a Gashmi's perspective, you live on bread. Right? So, it's the Yerushalmi already used the phrase chayei nefesh. You need bread to live. You don't need anything else to live, but you need bread to live. Otherwise, you would just starve. Right? That was how people existed. So therefore, this became a very, very difficult chumra to keep, especially since not everyone had the proper bread baking equipment or the ability to bake their own bread. So this became very difficult. That's why there's a whole discussion in the Gemara. Basically, all the Rishonim agree, by the time you get to the Pesach Halacha L'maisa, everyone agrees that in fact they did make some sort of heter. The question is just, what kind of heter? So, says the Mechaber, quoting the Rambam, Yesh Mekomos, quoting at least part of the Rambam, I don't know if this is the exact Lashon, I forget. But Yesh Mekomos Shemekil Medavar V'lokin Pas Minachnum V'chom Mokshin Shemnachnum Shrel, Neshu Shasad Chak. There are places where they're makel, meaning, and it's okay in those places, right? And they buy bread from a goyish baker if there's no Jewish bakery, because of Shas Hadchak, continuing just in the Mechaber, Aval Pashal Balabatim Inshom Mishmor Bilhakel. But no one is makel to buy bread from private people, because the Ikar Xerxes of intermarriage, and if you buy bread, or you take bread as a gift from a private person, you'll end up eating with them and intermarrying. But a baker, even if you happen to know the baker and be a little friendly with him, it's a business relationship, and you're one of 1,000 customers, and therefore, therefore it's not as much of a chash, and they're makel because of chasacha. The Shulchan Aruch a little later points out that it's not a chalos baker, a chalos balabais. Basically, baker means he's selling it for business. If the baker invites you to his house, that's usher. And balabais means it's his private inyanim. If he, on weekends, sets up a kiosk and sells bread, then that's mutter. So it doesn't depend if the gavra is a palter or balabais rove in the time. It depends if right now this is his business or this is his home. This is his personal life. It says right there, when there's no Jewish baker in town, that's called Shas Adchai. Very simple. It depends if there's a Jewish baker or not. That's the definition of Shas Adchai. Where does he get that from? There are two possible makoros for this. Number one, in the Bavli, you have the Shita of, I think there's Rabbi Chelbo, unless it was Rabbi Yochanan. 1 second. Rabbi Chelbo, Afilaman, Rabbi Palto, Okuchavim, Lo Umra, and the Lech of Palto Yisrael. Welcome to Ika Palto Yisrael, Lo. He says, even the one who holds they were matar for a palter is a guy, palter is nachton. For a guy, that's only if there's no Jewish baker. But if there is a Jewish baker, you can't be makel. So, you could get it from Rabbi Chelbo in the Bavli, also in the Yerushalmi, the main Gerson Yerushalmi says, that they were matar mishpalter goy pishom chayi nefesh, v'makim she'in shom palter Yisrael. Okay, so you have a Makar Rabbi Chelbo in the Bavli, you have a Makar Yerushalmi that says they went back and they were makel on a palter guy if there's no palter Yisrael. And that's the psak of the Mechaber. He clarifies a little later that even if there is a palter Yisrael, but his bread's not good, that also counts as a shas hadchak. Unless the palter Yisrael makes good bread like the goyish baker. Right, so even if there's a Jewish baker in town, but they don't know how to make good bread. Nowadays, all the bakeries know how to make good bread. But in those days, there's like black bread and coarse bread, and there were all real differences. So then that also counts as shas hadchak. Okay, what does that mean nowadays? If you live in Albuquerque, then you're allowed to buy from the goyish bakery, as long as the rabbi checks and gives a hashgacha that they only use kosher ingredients. Or you're allowed to go to the supermarket and buy bread with the OU, because the OU checked it was only kosher ingredients. But if you live in Brooklyn, then there's probably 50 kosher bakeries. There's a kosher bakery every three blocks. So then it's usher to go to the supermarket and buy Wonder Bread or ShopRite Bread or whatever kind of bread it is. And it's usher to go to your local Deutsch bakery, even if you see that he has all kosher ingredients, because you have a Jewish baker available and it's not a Shas Hadchak. According to the Mechaber. The Ramah says, that's the Mechaber. That's the Mechaber based on the Rambam and the Ram. And yeah, the Rashba. That's the Rishali based on the Rambam, the Ram, and the Rashba. However, says the Rambam, based on Tosos and the Rashi of Mordechai, and the Rashi different Gersas, but B'yeshom Ram, going back to a few months of Pastor Motzer Shari. Some people say, no, it's Motzer Legamre. Even if there's a Jewish baker, it's still Motzer by Goyish bread. Even though it's not a Shas Hadchak, it's still Motzer by Goyish bread. Why? So there are two possible Makoros for the Ramah. One is the Rush's Gersa Nirushalmi. The girl points out here, the Rush is a different Gersa Nirushalmi. It says, Hikirum Shulchai Nefesh, B'makom Sheyesham Palti Yisrael. The Nirushalmi seems to think, even though they were matter for Shas Hadchak, they were matter for Shas Hadchak, and once they were matter across the board, even if there's a Jewish baker. Even though that seems to be a bit of a chiddush. The other pshat in the Rambah is that it's based on Tosos and the Mordechai. Tosos and the Mordechai said, there's a din that when, do you have to keep every Xeira Darabanan? You have to keep every time Darabanan make a new rule, do you have to keep it? What? What does it mean? I sound like an Apocorus, no?
No.
So the Gemara says, if it was poshet, you have to keep it. If it wasn't poshet, then you don't necessarily have to keep it without getting into the details. And what does Bali Tosa say? So he says, this Gzeira was not poshet. It never reached our countries. It never reached us. It was never accepted in the first place. Maybe in some places, but by us it was never accepted in the first place. And therefore they say, this Gzeira doesn't apply to us because it was never accepted. Okay, so either because they went back to the Chayin Nefesh and made a general rule, or because it was never accepted by us in the first place, like it never was accepted by Klal Yisrael in the first place, the Ramah and the Ashkenazic Rishonim think you can eat Goyish bread even if there's a Jewish baker.
Even if it's a private?
No, so it's not clear. You have to figure out each Svara why, but Lemaisa, they all say that only a baker, not a private balabas. That works better if it's based on the Yishalmi, which says Yitir or Palter Goy. If it's based on the fact that it never spread in the first place, it's a little tricky. Then it's, you know, unless you could say that it spread halfway or that there are two different zeros, then it gets dachuk, and that's why the Gra takes the other approach. Okay, halakha lemaisa is clear so far. The Mechaber says you're only allowed to buy from a Goyish bakery if there's no Jewish bakery. The Ramah says you're always allowed to buy from a Goyish bakery. And the minhag, at least among the Ashkenazim nowadays, is that you're allowed to eat pas akum regardless.
So they thought I'm Israel, can't buy out of Israel all the breads that have ashkafas on.
In anyone have a Yalkut Yosef here? Or is there might be a Kafa Chayim here? What? Okay, Isaac will come back and report to us on what it says in the by the Sfarim. It's not, I don't know, could be not. Lemaisa, the Shach here, says that he thinks that it's roy even for Ashkenazim to be macher like the Mechaber. No, this is like too much to be made if you have a Jewish bakery. Which is why, Ad HaYom HaZeh, some Ashkenazim are macher like the Mechaber based on the Shach. So he doesn't say you have to be. But his Lashon is, sorry, where was it? Here it is. In some cut and test. Mi'unirad Yesh Lizar, Afkon Mos Hashanah, etc. Okay, he thinks Yesh Lizar. The Shach says he thinks it's better to be Machmir. That's why the mainstream minig nowadays is to be Makel. The mainstream minig is to eat Pas Palter, regardless of whether you have a Jewish bakery available or not. However, some people are Machmir, not to eat Pas Palter if there's a Jewish bakery available.
You know people like that, you've heard people like that.
There are people who are knowing like that in the
books. They don't buy any packaged bread.
First of all, it's not only bread, it's even cookies, right?
They don't buy any packaged stuff.
No, they buy the Hamish brands, which all say Pas Yisrael. They all have Pashkas and everything, which are all Pas Yisrael. Correct, I mean, it's not only bread, it's also cookies, right? Meaning you could only buy the Hamish brands of cookies, not the regular brands of cookies. Okay, probably the Kita, but there are.
The Yosef is only Mako if the Pas Yisrael isn't enough for the whole town.
Okay, so I guess he says be Karon, he's Macher. Okay, thank you. Oh, it's on the computer now. Okay, so the Yalka Yosef is fighting to be Macher. So, Lamaisa, there isn't anyone nowadays who has, who doesn't follow either of these opinions. Like, I don't know of anyone nowadays who's committed to never eat pasa, akum, regardless of what's available, and just go hungry, or just go breadless. No, the two main shitas nowadays are the Sfardim and the Ashkenazim HaMachmirim, who say you're allowed to eat goyish baked commercial bread if there's no Jewish bakery. But if there is a Jewish bakery, you have to go to the Jewish bakery. And the mainstream Minhag Ashkenazim, which says you're always allowed to eat commercial bread. However, there are a few exceptions. One exception is the Shachrims down here from Hilchos Yom Kippur, Siman Tov Reish Gimel, that during Aseres Yemei Tshuva, even Ashkenazim should be machmir, regardless of what's available, should try to be as machmir as they can to not eat goyish bread. And Aseres Yemei Tshuva, there's a special meaning to be machmir in goyish bread. Keep in mind, it's not just bread, it's cookies also. I mean, Aseres Yemei Tshuva, it's not enough to just buy bread from your local Jewish bakery. That means also no Oreo cookies and no ShopRite cookies, because that's also kind of bread.
You mean the shop that appears in the Shulchan
Aruch? I know, it's the Shach here, according to Shulchan Aruch, in Aruch Hayim. Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Hayim Tafer Yigimel. That might be the in Aruch Hayim Tafer Yigimel, during the Shulchan Aruch Tshuva, not everyone's makvin on this. But many people are makvin, it's property makvin, a Shulchan Aruch Tshuva, to not eat goyish bread. Yes?
Cereal is a...
Aha, so cereal is a big, big, big machlokas. What about cereal?
Why is that cereal?
Is cereal a pas or is cereal a top shell? Now, obviously, Fruity Pebbles is a top shell because it's not made of the five species of dada. Right? That's pushing Fruity Pebbles and Cocoa Pebbles and Chex. It's obviously top shell because it's not made of grain. It's not something which you make alamechi on. Cereal. Even rice. It's not grain, because you don't say alamechi. What?
Cereal is like pasta, like noodles, no?
Ah, so that cereal is a little tricky. some poskim, the Sefer Zos HaBracha, he's not talking about Sefer, he's talking about his brachos, he quotes from Rav Shlomo Zalman that ugi is pas, but bran flakes is tapshel. Because ugi is like baked into a shape of a cookie. It's like a shape. And but bran flakes is flat. That's a top shell.
Doesn't shape.
Yes, because bread is something that you bake into a shape. So he quotes from Rabbi Yashiv who says that bein ugi bein bran flakes is bread. Again, what's the nafkamina he's discussing? Nafkamina he's discussing is we're all once teenagers. How much cereal can a teenager eat if he gets up in the mornings in the mood for cereal? Anyone? I'm not going to you. Just some other teenager. At least four bowls, right? That's a kfiya sunna. So, when you eat four bowls of cereal, do you have to wash and say motzi and bench or not? So again, if you're eating Chex and Fruity Pebbles or Rice Krispies, it's no problem because it's not made of grains anyway. But if you're eating Cheerios, what do they have in America? They have Cheerios and... What else do they have in America?
Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
If you're eating Corn Flakes, it's no issue. But if you have Cinnamon Toast Crunch and Quaker Oatmeal Squares, Quaker Squares, and Cheerios, those are all made of one of the five grains. What?
Kariot
and ugi, then that's mizonos and alamechia. So if you eat four bowls, you have to wash and say hamotzi and bench or not. So he quotes there that Rabbi Yashiv thinks that it is that it is that is pas. Rabbi quotes from Shlomo Zalman, he heard that the ones that are baked into a shape like kariot and ugi are pas, but bran flakes, which are flat, are a tavshil. However, I think the minhag in America is the minhag in the OU and the minhag in the Yeshivas Rabbi Yisrael of Elchanan is to treat breakfast cereal as to treat breakfast cereal as a tavshil. That breakfast cereal, these tiny things, that's not Tzuris Cheerios, even though it's baked, it's just a small bagel with sugar. No, these tiny things that are just made to eat with a spoon, that's not tzuris ha'has, and therefore considered tafshil. And for tafshil, you don't have any inyan to be makir in a tzuris mechuba. So the minag in the minag ha'yeshiva is to be mako, but they quote from Rav Yashiv, and some people would think differently about that. So it's emach loks aposkin. But I think the makobol that the minag in the our yeshiva is to assume that breakfast cereals are tafshil. I mean, they don't have Koryot and Oogie in America. Like, Oogie really looks like a cookie. So, I don't know. Like, but at least for American cereals, the minute
shredded wheat is pretty big.
What?
Shredded wheat can get pretty big.
Yeah, I mean, it's bigger than an Oogie. It just doesn't look like a cookie. Mm-hmm. I don't know, the minute in Wagyu is to assume that breakfast cereals are top shell, but, you know, it's not fashion. What are Weetabits? I think it's something only eats in English. Okay, so you have to ask the English
person. It's like a whole, like two slices of, like...
What's Weetabits?
Weetabix.
What's Weetabix? I don't know what it is. How can I, you know, I can't...
What's it called?
Like,
what is it?
I'm checking. Yeah. It's like a Weetabix, but like in a big thing, not like in a small...
I don't know. Okay, so maybe it's different. It's a bar?
Yeah.
How do you bar for... It's a cereal. You eat it as a bar?
Like a bar. I'm saying it's
pretty big. Like you put it in the cereal bowl, but just like two bars and add sugar, etc.
I don't know. Maybe that's different. Okay, I don't know. British people do strange things. So what can you do? If you drink tea with milk, then you'll worry about that. For the rest of us, we'll leave that butzerki in for now. Okay, it's hard to pass on something you haven't seen. I remember back in my days, there were certain controversial shul in a certain city, which I won't name, and someone asked Ron Salvechi whether he thought the mechitza was okay there. And he said he couldn't pass the mechitza that he hadn't seen. So they caught him once in the shul, and they asked him, and he gave the same answer. Paskin on the mechitza, which I have not seen. Okay, so that was apparently good enough. All right, that shouldn't be on the internet or anything, because I don't want to insult whatever people he may have been talking about. But it's not in any city you've heard. It's an interesting question. Why in Aseres Metshuva is there davka this minhag to be machmer on pas akum and not on every other? There's a million chumras which you machmer Aseres Metshuva. Some people do, but that's not found in the poskim. Why are we machmer on every single machlokas? We should machmer on Aseres Metshuva, right? We should machmer on the chalav of the companies in America. We should be machmer on the butter of the goyim. We should be machmer on what?
That he also mentioned. About Chalav Yisrael.
Who?
In Tafir Sadi Gimel. Chalav Yisrael also. That only passed
out. Abir.
Chalav Yisrael.
No.
Abir says.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
I've only seen that mentioned in Sfarim for the last 20 years.
Oh.
We're close to Mashiach, so there's more chumras. But why Davka on Pas Akum? So it's not 100% clear. Why not on everything in the world? And forget it, it's not only on foods of Akum. It could be on a million shilohs you should makar Aseres Metshuva. Why not?
Because it's seen in the Gemara and it seemed that it was in Zayr. You're saying maybe there was
uh-huh. Okay, the so there are two base. What? Oh, Weetabix. Are they cereal or they eat snack bars?
You put in milk.
You break it?
No, you break it up with a spoon.
Oh, okay. I don't know. It's so big.
It's soggy with the milk.
I don't know. Sorry. But if it's so big, I would be inclined to call it pas. If it's so big, you would think you would have to call it pas. Okay. So, the lavush in Hilchos Yom Kippurim, in Tafresh Gimel, the lavush suggests that it's not 100% clear, but he says we want to remind ourselves to have extra tara that these are special days, they're Aseres Metshuva. Then he says, and we should like show that we're different from the goyim and we have to have a higher standard of tara. So it could be, since this is specifically about being different from the goyim, I mean, it has nothing to do with there are bachutzim or moshe and other posts about the milk, whether you're choshish that it's treated milk or not. Here it's about chaskos, right? It's specifically about remind ourselves that we're different from the goyim and have a higher standard. So it could be a Aseres Metshuva. We have to remind ourselves of that higher standard. That's at least one line hinted at in the Levush. The Aruch HaShulchan gives a different explanation. He says very interestingly, He says, when something's a real machlokas, whether it's mutter or usser, then we have to be consistent. If we pass the kula earlier long, we pass the kula on the Sirish Ben Tshuva. If we pass the kula earlier long, we pass the kula on Sirish Ben Tshuva. He says that here, again, this is working within the Mechaber, he says, the Mechaber says they were matter. It used to be usser, but they were matter. Why were they matter? They were matter because it's too hard to the Shasad Chat. So what do we see? It's not a machlokas whether it's usser or mutter. We paskin absolutely that it's mutter because of Shasad Chak. So all year long, for Shasad Chak, we're making on our Sirish Ben Tshuva, we show that even for Shasad Chak, we want to be machmir, because we want to show that we'd really love to serve Hashem and sacrifice everything, even if it's a Shasad Chak, and even if it's too hard. And even though all year long, sometimes we have to compromise with practicality and reality, at least in Sirish Ben Tshuva, we want to say that we would give our whole Mesiris Nefesh for Avodas Hashem. Therefore, every other machlokes is a machlokes, not even serious nefesh. The matirin say mutter, the osim say usser. Over here, no, the mechaber paskins, usser, but he tiru mishom shasad chak. Since this is the only halacha that it says in the mechaber they changed for shasad chak, that's the halacha we're machron in a serious mechuvah to show that we'd like to not even have to compromise with shasad chak and be 100% in our avodas Hashem if we would have the opportunity. No, because it'd only be with everyday things, not with weird circumstances that come up once in a while. Like, not every time you're so have a rare circumstance, the psak, because it depends on Shasad Chak, I don't think we'd say that. Because the minute would only be with common things. Okay, it's an anti, right, it's a Shasad Chak the other way also.
Why is it considered, just going back to basics, why is it considered Shasad Chak to not have bread nowadays? We have so many other things.
Okay, that's a good question. After all, nowadays, who needs bread? Again.
Once you're making that distinction between before and nowadays.
That's an excellent question, meaning if you hold like the Ramah, they're a matter, they're a matter. If you hold like the Machaber, they're only matter for Shasad Chak. So nowadays, there's no Jewish bakery. Who needs bread? Many days we don't eat bread. There's a lot of days we don't eat bread. It's a good question. The answer might be that once the halach is in the Shulchan Aruch, we keep it that way. Bein l'kula, bein l'chumra. Right? Orthodox Jews don't only keep what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, the chumra, we also keep it l'kula. Okay, that's part of the way halacha works. Okay. There's two other things I want to mention. One is, there's a Mishnah Brura in Siman Reish Mem Beis, quoting Achronin, who quotes a minhag that on Shabbos, out of covered Shabbos, you should have pasistral. He quotes Machlokes Achronim there, whether he's only talking about the Lechem Mishnah or talking about all the bread and cakes you eat on Shabbos. So the Mishnah Brura thinks one should try to be machmer on everything you eat on Shabbos to have Pasi Shral out of covered Shabbos. Again, this is talking about if you can. No one's saying you should go hungry on Shabbos. That's not covered Shabbos. Meaning, if you can have good food on Shabbos, if that's Pasi Shral, you should. Again, some people are machmer for the Lechem Mishnah, that it should be Pasi Yisrael, either they bake themselves or buy from a Jewish bakery. Usually, since they buy challah, which the Goyim don't sell so much anyway, it's easy to be machmir on that. Some people are machmir, on the sliced bread they might have, even on the cookies, etc. Okay, so there are different levels of chumrah on Shabbos, but there is an inyan to be machmir on Shabbos out of Kavod Shabbos. That Kavod Shabbos doesn't only mean the food should be a higher Gashmir standard, but also means the food should be a higher Ruchni standard. Right, when Zev grew up, they used to put lard in the bread, right?
There was no such thing as kosher packaged bread. When it first came out, people couldn't believe. So Dr. today,
okay. Now, the last thing I want to mention is the Shachas of Cut in Zion. This actually could be important. This could happen. Could it really happen? Only in businesses. Says the Shachas of Cut in Zion, when they were make on the palter, they were only make on a Goyish bakery. A Jewish bakery with Goyish workers, they weren't makel. Why? Because that's not a Shasad Chak. The Jewish bakery can hire Jewish workers. So if you have a Jewish bakery, then you can't have all the cooking done by Goyish workers. You have to have a Jew participate in the cooking. That's what the Shach says about Zion. He's quoting it from Rishonim.
Why does he assume that what's Kovea here, by Anachto, that the workers are not the only if we're talking about customers?
And the answer is probably the way they made the gzeira was on the Maisa Afiyah. The way they made the gzeira is on the Maisa Afiyah. And what's the law? She says, Pas Palter Akum, we're Mekalon. But Pas Yisrael Shenefe Al Yidei Akum, we're not Mekalon. And therefore, if you have a Jewish bakery, you don't have to have Jewish workers doing all the baking. You just have to have Jewish workers participating a little in the baking in order to make sure that it is Pas Yisrael. Okay, if you're not a baker, then it's not an issue, because everyone knows Balabatim, Pas Balabatim is Aser. So clearly in a private house, you can't have a goyish housekeeper bake bread for you, because that's not a palter, that's a balabais. But even in a Jewish bakery, you can't have goyim bake the bread, you have to have a Jew participate.
Or pancakes, which is probably even much more.
Pancakes, so pancakes actually is a big, also not so pashut if it's bread or if it's tavshil, because on the one hand, it does have a tsura, like a cake. On the other hand, it just like is flat. You don't put it in any tin or anything. What? No, because a lafa actually, you make it into a shape. A pancake, it just spreads. But let's assume that, you know, benkach or benkach, whether it's bread or tashil. Okay, that's going to be enough for if Simon Kofi Beis. We'll come back to mention some of the other details. But that's just, you know, we don't have to go through all the halachas, so they don't come up that much. And just to have the yisod of whether the etzem were makban on it or we're not makban on it, we saw the machaber, we saw the ramah, we saw the special rule of Aser Shemei Tshuva, we saw the special rule of Shabbos.
I'm sorry, just I don't know if we mentioned this further, that the ticket out of pas akum, it's just the oven.
Okay, good question. Good. You know what? We should look at this. Look for a second at good point at if tes. This is based partially on Mefurs in the Gemara, and part of this is in an obscure but interesting sefer that I'll mention. If a goy lit the fire and a Jew baked, or a Jew lit the fire and a goy baked, or a goy lit the fire and baked it, but the Jew. This seems to be what the Gemara might be saying. It says he was in a hot bake, he turned it over. The Jew stoked the coals and raised the flame a little. All that, harizem mutter. I mean, as long as the Jew participated in the fire or in putting the bread or in raising the flame, that's all mutter. And then he quotes something which is found in, not found in the Gemara, but maybe it's a logical extension of the Gemara, and is found in an interesting book of the Gaonim called Chilufei Minhagim. There's a fascinating book of the Gaonim called Chilufei Minhagim Bein Bnei Mizrach Bnei Maariv. All the differences in Minhagim between the Jews in Bavel and the Jews in Eretz Yisrael in the time of the Gaonim. Some of them are famous to us, like, what's famous? There's one famous difference in the Minhagim in Bavel and Eretz Yisrael that you all know. Kriyas HaTorah, right? Right, that in Bavel they finished the Torah every year, and Eretz Yisrael they finished in 3 years and change. People think it was 3 years, but in most places in Eretz Yisrael it was not exactly 3 years. But then there's 100 other differences. And one of the differences was that in Bavel they say if you throw in one tiny twig to the fire, that's good enough to make it Pas Yisrael. And since we always follow Minhagi Bavel, says the Mechaber, Vafilo Zarkel Eitz Echel Tovatano, even if you only throw one small stick into the oven, heat your kol pashivo. That was Ma made all the bread in it, Pas Yisrael. She'ena davar lios heka shemashal masura. There's the Rambam's Hesber. It doesn't matter who's really, like, the main person responsible for the baking. You just need a hecker that we shouldn't be too close to the goyim and eat their bread, that we should remember that we're not integrated with the goyim, that we're not assimilated into the goyim, and therefore, as long as a Jew has to do some symbolic action, that's good enough. Okay, the Rambam is, even if you blow on the fire, that's good enough. You know, if you blow on the fire, you make it go up. That's good enough. That's like stoking fire. So for Pas Akum, we're fairly mako that any participation of the Jew makes it Pas Yisrael. So if you do have a Jewish bakery or Jewish home, all you have to do is light the oven or turn it on a little, or, I mean, throwing in one stick. Nowadays, we don't usually use sticks in the oven so much, except in the matzah bakeries. I think in the pizza stores, they have gas ovens. You have to turn up the gas a little. Okay, or if it's a matzah bakery, I don't know if the goyim are doing a matzah bakery anyway, it would be a problem with Lishma, then you can just throw one stick in. or I have a friend who has like a matzah oven that he uses all year long to bake like artisan medieval bread, and you know, you throw in sticks, so, I mean, he doesn't have goyim working there, but if you would have goyim working there, all that you would have to do is throw in one stick, and that would be good enough. Okay, let's move on to at least start looking at some in Kuf Yud Gimel, Dini Bishul Akum, which I said we're going to do a little more bit Iyur. Okay. Kuf Yud Gimel. Starts with the rules of Bishul Akum. The Gemara has two Lashonos on Daf Lamed Chesam and Aleph at the top. Whether anything that's edible on a royal table has an Isser Bishul Akum, but something which is not fit for a royal table doesn't, or whether anything which is not edible raw, which needs cooking, has an Isser Bishul Akum. But whatever you cook eat raw doesn't have an Isser Bishul Akum. Tosfos there points out that you don't make one kula or the other kula. That the second mount number holds of both kulas, and since Bishul Akum is an Isser Rabbanan, we pass like the most makel there, which holds of both kulas, and therefore we pass in both kulas. Meaning, we eat, whether or not it's edible raw, if it's not fit for a king's table, mutter. Whether or not it's fit for a king's table, if it's edible raw, mutter. And that's why half the foods, you go to the OU, and you go to the OU and say, what do you do about Bishul Akum? They'll tell you, half the foods we certify have no issue with Bishul Akum anyway, because either they're edible raw, or they're not fit for a king's table. And the other half of the foods, or like they don't cook them at all, obviously, like pasta, there's no problem for the OU of Bishul Akum pasta, because pasta is not cooked in the factory. There's a problem at home with Bishul Akum if a guy cooks it. Right? So if they sell things that aren't cooked, there's obviously no issue. If they sell things that are processed in ways other than cooking, there's no issue. Like pasta, it's just dried out, it's not cooked, or some other things which are not cooked. If they sell things edible raw, it's no issue. If they sell things not fit for a king's table, also no issue. And what are the other half of the products? What are the things that are not edible raw and are fit for a king's table? Then they'll say, okay, so we have to have a Jew do the cooking. Exactly what that means, we won't get to. And that's part of the work of the OU, is not just ensuring that all the ingredients are kosher. I'd love that for the OU, any hashgacha. It's not just to ensure all the ingredients are kosher, it's to ensure that when they cook it, it stays kosher by either checking to make sure that it's something which is exempt from Bishul Akum, or if it's something which is included in Bishul Akum, having a Jew do the cooking, quote unquote. So let's read in the Shofar. Okay, there are there are some cases that are mutter even if cooked by a goy. What we see here is mutter. Cases which are mutter even if cooked by a goy. So first of all, I would just go a little earlier. What is mutter even if cooked by a goy? One is kuf yud beis beis. Pas palter, right? If it's pas and not tavshil, and it's made by a palter, then it's mutter, right? According to Ashkenazim in all circumstances. So, for example, if the OU certify Oreo cookies, then they don't worry about who baked the Oreo cookies. It's pas palter. Whoever wants to be machmer shouldn't buy Oreo cookies. And whoever wants to follow the regular minig Ashkenaz should buy Oreo cookies. So the OU doesn't send a mashgiach to bake the Oreo cookies. Pas palter. No problem. And that's, you know, the same as the OU bread. Is Wonder Bread OU nowadays? I have no idea. Do they still have Wonder Bread nowadays? Whatever, let's say ShopRite bread is OU. They don't send a mashgiach to bake the ShopRite bread. They rely on Pas Palter and the Rambah. The second example we have, Kuf Yud Gimel Sif Aleph, which is really the first example, was in Hilchos Bishul Akum. Point to Pas Palter that it's not in Hilchos Bishul Akum, it's in Hilchos Pas. Is Nechot Moshu Chai. Anything which is edible raw is exempt from Bishul Akum. Bishul Akum only implies if it's inedible raw. Anything which is edible raw is exempt from Bishul Akum. This actually comes up in a lot of things in industrial kashrus. First of all, this could be in your home also. Let's say you want to cook tzimis. Tzimis is cooked carrots. Right, it's a dish of cooked carrots. Everyone knows you can eat raw carrots. So you can let your goyish housekeeper cook the tzimis, and it's no problem, even l'chatchila, because it's edible raw, baked apples. No problem. You can have a goy make you baked apples because it is because it's edible raw. Right? If you see a goy selling baked apples on the street, you can buy a baked apple because it's edible raw. It's no problem if the goy cooked it. This also comes up in other issues. For example, these might be mutter for other reasons also, but the postman say, like candy made out of sugar. Sugar is edible raw. You can eat a sugar cane. Sugar is edible raw. They even assume nowadays in America, instead of sugar, what do they use?
Corn syrup.
Corn syrup. So the OU says corn is edible raw. Now, when you buy corn in the supermarket, it's not so edible raw, right? But that's because it's not fresh. Anyone ever go corn picking? Anyone corn picking? Okay, without getting into issues with the lawyer, right? You can go, there are places where you go corn picking, and the corn is delicious like candy. Now that's because they sell you the sweetest strains of corn. But those are the ones they use for corn syrup mostly also. And all the corn, it's like, it's really, it's good to eat, might be more delicious or less delicious, but if it's fresh, then it's edible raw. So therefore, they assume anything made out of corn syrup is no problem. Or, for example, ketchup. Ketchup is made out of tomatoes. Everyone knows you can eat raw tomatoes. No problem of bishul akum or pasteurized milk. They pasteurize the milk. They cook all the milk. So are you allowed to drink the milk? Yeah, of course. Because it's edible. You can drink raw milk. I mean, it might have bacteria, but it's perfectly good to drink. It's just 0.3% of the time I make you sick, and I personally don't advise drinking raw milk. There is a movement out there which is against science that says drink raw milk. No, I think you should believe in science. And we have to do our shtablus and drink pasteurized milk. But that's only to avoid a chash rachok of bacteria. It tastes just as good raw as pasteurized. And that would apply to other things also, like cheese. Even if they cook the cheese, since cheese is made out of milk that's edible raw, it's no problem.
Do all the ingredients have to be edible raw or just the main ones?
Okay, excellent question. That is going to be in Sifthays, and it's going to say we go by the Iker, which is not necessarily the same as Rove. We go by the Iker like in Hilchos Brachos, not necessarily by what has more ounces.
Raw meat, food,
no, so, okay, so we'll see that edible raw has to mean edible shalol yidei
atchak. And milk is not shalol yidei atchak because the taste is fine.
Taste is fine, it's just the scientists tell us not to. The Haraya, the granola people always drink raw milk because they have a different shita in science. That's a matter of philosophical shita. It's not a matter of being good.
Fish we can, sushi.
So that's a fascinating question. When I was a kid, for sure, if a guy made you salmon, that was bishul akum. Because you couldn't eat raw salmon. Who ever heard of eating raw salmon? And don't tell me in Japan they eat raw salmon. The post-consumer goes by your country. Nowadays, when I was a kid, you have to go to Japan to eat raw salmon. Who are eating raw fish? They'd lock you up in a lunatic asylum if you ate raw fish when I was a kid. Of course, the world has changed a lot. By now, if you get married in New York and don't serve sushi at the shmorg, then it's a suffix kiddushin, right? Because we see you're not really kiddush moshe b'Yisrael. Nowadays, sushi is very makabel. I remember when they first started eating sushi, I had a big fight with Reagan Ack, the head of the OU, about this. And I was a little younger at the time, so I'm like, sushi, everyone's eating sushi now, it's the newest thing. And he's like, who eats sushi? Only people in Japan eat sushi. I mean, that didn't last too long. Then he quickly realized that all Orthodox Jews eat sushi all the time. At Hayom HaZeh, right? And usually in the sushi bars, they sell sushi everywhere. People serve sushi for Dogim on Friday night. So it seems pretty clear to me that it would seem that nowadays there'd be no servicial... I haven't seen this in any big poskim, but misvar would seem that nowadays there's no iser bishul akum in salmon because people are no hate to eat it raw nowadays. Nowadays it doesn't need cooking; you can eat it raw. That's a big kula.
Doesn't matter the quantity of which you eat it, meaning they only eat, people don't eat,
A
big piece of
salmon. Good. So look at the first Yoyin Marsha. The first Yoli Marsha says, "Dine bishulei of the gavim shtias kafe bekafe hauser kafe hauser kusav shoes bear asex and kufches afmini gadoshim mutter." Drinking coffee in a coffee house is totally mutter. There's no special act of coffee for a few reasons that we'll get to. The gavim lochus taros isur lo shchichri, and you don't have to worry if you put isur in the coffee, which is not common even nowadays. Not common. Then parentheses Oh, sorry. Okay, I meant the second Gilui Marsha. Second Gilui Marsha says she in lechem shuchai. Afilim dover acher nechol kmo zangvil shenachem chayim lechem melech shari. Even if you only eat it raw with other things, like ginger, which you only eat raw with bread and salt, it's still mutter. Meaning it doesn't have to be edible raw alone. It's good enough if it's edible raw with other things. Meaning, it has to be with other things, like a serious amount that you really want to taste. I mean, anything you could stick a little and you won't notice. But it means, like his case of raw ginger, you couldn't eat a raw piece of ginger. If you cooked it, you could chew a piece of ginger. If it was raw, you couldn't eat it, but it was delicious in a sandwich. Then that's fine. Like that's even meaning, even if you have to dilute the taste a little to eat it raw, as long as it's a normal taste to eat raw, and it's an important ingredient, that's considered edible raw. According to the Magen Avraham.
Then you don't need sushi because you have lox.
No, lox is only edible raw when it's smoked. That's different. We made
lox in our refrigerator 2 weeks ago.
Out of
a big piece of salmon, and you can cure it with sugar and put it in your fridge.
No, you have to cure it. That doesn't count as edible raw. It has to be edible raw without curing.
Oh, okay.
Like sushi is not cured.
Does it make sense? Right. It has to be like sushi
grade
to be.
So that's an interesting question. So now I'm not sure. Here's where I'm not such a bucky. Maybe someone can help me out. Like, what's the difference between the fish we make sushi out of and the fish we don't make sushi out of? Anyone want to help me here?
I think there's like a very specific temperature in which like the bacteria or whatever is like the dangerous stuff of eating raw stuff.
Meaning you have to keep it a certain, it's not a different kind of salmon, you just have to keep it to a certain level of freshness.
Yeah.
Although stores use the label sushi grade fish, there are no official standards for using this label. The only regulation is that parasitic fish, such as salmon, should be frozen to kill any parasites before being consumed raw. So it's frozen before being consumed.
It would seem to me that that should be a heter for all fish. I mean, it's a big kiddush. It's a big kiddush in halacha. Say
for all fish.
What? No, for all fish that we eat sushi, right? Like salmon. For all and tuna, right? We have tuna sushi. They make sushi out of a lot of kinds of fish. Not all, but a lot. Like I never saw trout sushi, but I've seen sushi out of a lot of kinds of fish. So, I don't know, it would seem to be mutter. That would be a big, big, big fish. That would change everything for fish eaters. But that's what it's, in svara, it would seem to be mutter. okay. Maybe we'll see if we can find if the poskim spoke about it. It would have to be in the last, 20 years. So, let's ask some questions about Nechal Kol Shukai. So, for one example is, if nechal biyachad in davar acher, still mutter. That's the Gilui Marsha. Even if it's only nechal kai biyachad with other things, it is still mutter. In the third Marsha, he discusses. Oh no, sorry. In the end of the second Marsha, but you know, when perish lunish bakra dain called sorkin the inechon dain chayin the yeshem shem shuli akum the tam hasafik. Who perish amram kol ochel shulchai al hamin diminu nechal chuli shari ash is einu nechal machshul is bakar daim matzasi snach is for israel hetter mehari gerunda, meaning regerunda is the Rabbi Yonah Gerundi of the Shari Tshuva who did not write the book Isra Heter, but in some generations they mistakenly printed the book Isra Heter was written by Rabbi Yonah Gerundi Bal Machaber Shari Tshuva. So Marsha had the Marsha of Gilui Marsha, or Shlomo Eger had that book, and nowadays we know that was a mistake. It was written by a different Rabbeinu Yonah, who lived in Germany. It was a Talmud of the Truma Sedesha. Okay, but he means our Isra Hetter, which is written by Rabbeinu Yonah, who is not from Gerona. Okay, he brings down machlokas about what if some are less ripe or more ripe. Do we go by the species or by like each particular one? Like, what if you have beginning of the season, end of the season, and they're not so good raw? But in the middle of the season, they're good raw. So do we go by the species, or do we go by the or do we go by the individual? And the Gilyan Marsha wants to be Machriya. The Gilyan Marsha wants to be Machriya that you go by the species. So if the general species we're going to assume, if the general species is edible raw, then that is good enough. The however, he quotes here from the other Achronim who argue in the Gilyan Marsha. yeah, the Bar Yishulchan quotes from the other Achronim who disagree with the Gilyan Marsha and say, no, it goes by this particular type. So if you have a case where the min is Nachal Chai, but this type is not, let's say it was a little too, not ripe enough, or a little overripe, and it's not edible raw, you can have this for like, this particular type is not edible raw anymore, like pears are edible raw, but maybe the pears, like in the beginning of the season, when they're not ripe enough, you have to cook. Then, the Gilyan Marsha says mutter, but the other Achronim say aser. So even if the general species is edible raw, if this is a poor quality or not ripe enough for the wrong season, it's not edible raw, then it's a problem.
So you don't mean type, you mean like you have to examine each, you have to verify that each pair being used is right.
Correct. Which you can normally assume are if you buy it in the supermarket, whatever. Right. You know, in the season they all are. Okay. Where we'd be master. Okay, the other issue is, which I'll just mention very, very briefly, is, what's the next heter? Kuf Yud Gimel Aleph says, Eino Ole Al Shulchan Melachim. Something not fit for a king's table is no problem with Bishul Akum. Examples we assume of things that are not fit for a king's table are breakfast cereal, whether hot or cold. Right?
You're giving examples. The definition is the $64,000 cook.
Correct. So it's a little tricky now that you don't have kings. But the assumption is...
What does it mean?
What does it mean a king's table? It doesn't mean whether a king would eat it or not. Kings would eat snack foods also sometimes, but not at their formal table. Right? So what it means is not what Barack Obama eats for breakfast, you know, with Michelle. It means what Barack Obama eats at an official dinner. Now, there's a lot of things he eats at an official dinner, right? All fishes and all meat and fowl would be served at a dinner. All legumes and pasta would be served. You know, they dress up the spaghetti a little, but you'd make pasta dishes. You'd make serve rice, and you'd serve potatoes, and you'd serve peas, and, you know, like, basically legumes and vegetables, like normal foods. Soup, you serve soup. Yeah, nowadays, what a lot of people say is what you would serve at a chasana. Now, of course, you have to include milk also. So most foods... Most foods... Okay, hold that thought for just one moment, at least. Most foods would be served at a king's table. However, example of foods that are not served at the king's table are basically either very poor foods, which we don't really have nowadays in our society. Like, there are no foods that poor people eat, like, in the old days. But it's like porridges and breakfast cereal, like you wouldn't serve that at a formal affair. You wouldn't serve Cheerios at a formal affair. You wouldn't serve oatmeal at a formal affair. That we assume is not Ol Shulchan Melachim. Candy is not Ol Shulchan Melachim. Kids love it. Some adults also love it. But it's not a thing to serve at a formal affair. And snacks. You don't serve snacks at a formal affair. You don't serve potato chips and, what are other snacks? And chocolate bars at a Shulchan Melachim.
You're talking about the object itself, the gidul. But there's also a thing about the preparation.
Okay.
Good. Everybody said canned goods is not allowed Shulchan Melachim because nobody would take, no caterer would take.
Okay, good point. We'll go back then in a second. So...
Is Obama
Kuvay,
or is more like Buckingham Palace?
Okay.
My question had absolutely no political implications.
Everything does.
So the
all these things, so enechnami, all these things are very, very tricky. The OU assumes that when they serve French fries, that they're not olal shulchan malachim. So when you buy frozen French fries that are already cooked, you buy raw French fries, obviously, that's not an issue. They assume that's not olal shulchan malachim. However, they assume frankfurters are olal shulchan malachim. It gets very tricky. Why does it get very tricky? Because a lot of things, like, could be a little fancier, a little less fancy. As a matter of fact, someone wrote an article a while ago once, say, all potato chips are usser. Because potatoes are served in shulchan malachim, and they're just small slices of potato. That was not niskabel as the minhag. Potato chips are clearly a different way of preparing them than potatoes. But sometimes it gets very, very borderline. Like, for example, when it comes to frankfurters, there are cheaper frankfurters and fancier frankfurters, right? And where to draw the line is not exactly clear. What? You never heard of, in Germany, they serve sausage all the time. Right? What's a sausage? The frankfurter. Not just Germany. You know, could be in America also. Anyway, these things do get very, 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 very tricky. There's a lot of borderline things. Again, things that are not borderline, I think it's postured. Like any mains and side dishes that you serve like at a normal Shabbos meal, I think we'd assume those are olal shulchan malachim. Tuna fish was a big machlokas at the time in the can. It seems postured to me that in this other year, since tuna fish is not olal shulchan malachim, a tuna steak would be, but tuna fish and tuna steak, canned tuna fish, very different. Canned goods, you get the same issue. Sometimes canned goods are just very, very similar to a fancier version, and then it might be hard to draw the line. And sometimes they're clearly very, very different from the fancy version. So canned tuna, I think, would be posh to most people that it's not called olal shulchan malachim, because it's different from fancy tuna. What other canned goods are there? Beans, baked beans. Are baked beans olal shulchan malachim?
No.
I don't know.
Only at a national barbecue.
Okay.
Like a outdoor barbecue.
Okay.
Something
right. Okay. So anyone who wants to research this more before next time, in the RJJ Journal number 42, there's a long article about this. We might have it on the shelf. If not, I'll lend you a copy. There's one article about exactly what if you have a food which, like, in some forms is more olal shulchan malachim, in some forms less. We'll have to come back for more details, Amir Tzashem, next time. So just remind us of our agenda: Kuf Gimel, Kuf Kaf Aleph, Tafnun Aleph, Tafnun Beis is on our agenda.
This CRC is
Makra for sushi. Yeah. Do they have a Hesver?
They said that. Although raw fish is certainly eaten raw in the Orient, increasingly in America, the protein will